And now a performance from the Ron Van Dam Players. Hello? Hello?
Mrs. Johnson? This is your son's school calling.
Oh my God. Is he all right? Is he sick? Is there something wrong with my son?
Well, he's not sick, Mrs. Johnson, but there is a problem down here at the school. I think you should come down.
Well, tell me, what's going on? What's wrong with my son?
Well, it seems that he's been acting out quite strangely all of a sudden.
How?
Well, he's walking around the schoolyard, picking fights with other children. Calling them names, calling them fat, and things like that.
Oh, he's never done that before. Anything else?
Yes. Your 5-year-old son was walking down the hall in the school, and a young girl was walking the other direction, and he tried to grab her pussy.
What?
Yes, he did. And I don't think it was referring to the feline cat.
But this is unbelievable. Where would he get this kind of attitude from?
Well, that's not all. He's walking around, walking to all the teachers and saying to them, "I know more than you do. Nobody knows more than I do. I know everything. I am God's gift to you."
He'd never said anything like that before.
It's quite disturbing, Mrs. Johnson. That's why I'm asking that you come down and we can do something about this. I'm afraid I'm going to have to suspend or possibly even expel your child.
Why?
Because of all the things I've just mentioned. And then he said something very strange to me.
What did he say?
He said someday he hopes to be president.
What does that have to do with anything?
He said he was just trying to act presidential.
Oh, no. I feared this day since the election. And now, it's come true.
Where have I failed?
Mrs. Johnson, don't blame yourself. It's that douchebag in the White House that's causing all these problems. Our youth today are looking up to our president in a very odd manner. They think that that's the way they're supposed to act. Defiant, disgusting, oversexed, overconfident, bizarre, demented, egotistical. Why, do you know your son actually walked into the art room down the hall and started putting orange paint on his face?
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
How'd you like that? How'd you like the performance?
Whatever.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. I am your host. Can I get you anything? Would you like a finger sandwich with my finger in it? What would you like? What do you want? What do you want from me? What's your problem? Do you want a beverage of some sort? A soft drink? A drink that is not hard, but it is quite soft? Something with bubbles in it? Something that is just simply water? What do you want? What do you want from me? I am your host. Am I supposed to valet park your car? What do you want from me? I seem to be quite agitated. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. If you've never heard the program before, it's inexcusable. It's just inexcusable on your part. I have done some incredibly wonderful shows, many shows that also sucked really badly, but many of them were quite incredible, and you missed them all, every single one of those incredible experiences that you could have lived with for the rest of your life and been a better person, or at least had spent some extra time doing nothing. But fear not, because they're all available on the Podbean network, all like 600 of them. Tja. You want to binge listen? I'll drive you nuts. Why don't you just start right here and I'll take care of you. We have a nice bunch of people that work with us here that try to entertain you every single weekday. Julie is one of our intro people. She's a wonderful, she's going to give you the rules and regulations, and you have to sign at the bottom, okay?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day, but even then. Please refrain from loud conversation, as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. Yeah. It may vary greatly.
Really much.
Please enjoy the show.
Which is kind of amazing, actually. We're going to speak to Vera Zakham, who is a research scientist for the Center for Stability and Development. She's a specialist in influence and information operations, among other things. You're saying to me, Ron, that was a bunch of words all put together that kind of didn't mean anything to me whatsoever. What am I supposed to do with all those words that you've just uttered? They don't make any sense to me. She talks about fake news. Her society there tries to look at the social implications of fake news, and fake news is in the news. We are all it's so freaking confusing. All of a sudden, I've never heard this before. All of a sudden, the news and information that you get is like totally ridiculous from all ends. Apparently, the White House calls all of the media, all they do is talk about fake news. They make stuff up and they tell you about it. CNN, the New York Times, I mean, anybody, any media whatsoever, even Fox News, NBC, everybody makes stuff up. But the stuff that comes out of the White House is real news that they just made up. As you remember recently at Trump's first press conference in the White House, he made statements about he said that he had the most electoral votes of any president in modern history, and the reporter said, "Well, that's not true. Actually, the first Bush had more electoral votes than you got in your election, Mr. Trump." And Trump said, "Well, I'm talking about Democrats." Well, actually, Mr. Trump, Barack Obama actually got more electoral votes than you were, and he is a Democrat. And then Trump says, "Well, this is something that I just heard. They just told me this as I walked in. Someone told me this. And you, sir, only give out the real facts. I understand now. That's the horse calling the kettle black. That's the shoe calling the other shoe of the other foot. That's a chicken calling an egg, which came first. Everybody is just nuts. Everybody is nuts. What the White House is doing is trying to create its own entity. And I've said this before on the air, and I'll say it just one more time within the next minute. I will tell you that the White House is trying to form a dictatorship. You're saying, "Ron, that's so extreme. Now you're disseminating fake news." No, it's not news. It's not fake news. It's not news. I'm just expressing myself. This is what I think is going on. It may be, it may not be, but I think it is. I think there is a concerted effort to dupe the public, to win elections, dupe the public, do what you want for your own means, your own political means, your own business means, but more so your own power. These people want power. Everybody in politics wants power. It started with just getting free movie tickets and getting a seat in a crowded restaurant. That's how it started. Now it's like taking over the world, controlling the economy, having people do what you say without question. The White House literally wants to turn the media into something that is totally not believed, so that there can be no criticism, no comments, no dispute, no controversy that takes place in the governing of this nation out of the White House. That's what you do when you want to run a dictatorship. You get rid of all the opposition. And to do that, you start to discredit it. Little by little, you chip away at it. And you hope that the public buys it. You hope that the public believes what you're saying. And he's rather good at this. But there's going to come a point where it's all going to blow up in his face. I'm telling you, it shall occur. And my prediction is that by August, as I've said on the show many times, by August, he will be under such strict investigation that impeachment proceedings shall begin in August. And that Vice President Pence will become the president and will clean house. He will have to clean house. That's the only way he can do it. He will do that. And it will be a livable situation, a tolerable situation until the next national election. But this is unforgivable, man. This has got to stop. This day-to-day angst and anxiety and what the hell's wrong with this guy has got to stop. And I have a feeling that even if you voted for Trump, there's something inside you that says, "Oh, crap. If he would just do his stuff and shut the hell up. Just shut up. No more tweeting, no more talking, no more public appearances. You tell your people that too. Just do your thing and shut up." But they can't do that because they love the spotlight. Ooh, the bathing warmth of the spotlight. That show business. Everybody's got to know when I blow my nose. Everybody's got to know when I chew my food. Just like on Twitter, just like on Facebook. Everybody's got to know what I had for dinner last night and if I enjoyed it or not. The most telling thing about this of recent was just yesterday, on Thursday, I should say. I don't know what yesterday is to you at this point. Trump is meeting with many corporation business leaders, owners of gigantic companies. They're sitting around a table. This is how much Trump can't shut up. There's a very powerful woman who owns the Campbell Soup Company at this time. She's the CEO, CEI, CET, whatever. And Trump asks business leaders to introduce themselves. And she says, I am whatever her name is. I do not recall. It's not important here. And I head the Campbell Soup Corporation. And Trump opens his mouth and he says, good soup.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's good to be here. Ken Frazier from Merck & Co. Inc.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mark Field, CEO of Ford Motor Company.
Thank you, Mr. President. Denise Morrison from Campbell Soup Company.
Good soup.
Thank you.
Good soup. The hell's wrong with you? Does everybody have to know that you think that Campbell's, because they're sitting there, that you have to say, good soup? You sound like a moron. God, just shut up. All right, that's enough. Talk too much, Ron? Do you talk too much? Let's double check. We do have a travel advisory. Jim Clambaker. Jim, what's going on with that travel advisory?
Hey, everybody. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. Well, no surprise to anyone living in the Northeast, but we're in for another stretch of weather that makes people want to beat each other to death with hammers. So if I were you, I'd hide the hardware and keep the sharp stuff away from Grandma just to be safe. I swear, if we get 12 more inches of wintry death over the weekend, I'm just going to have somebody take me out like Old Yeller, because I am done. If this weather hasn't driven you stone cold, batshit crazy yet, or turned you into an alcoholic, well, brother, you're a better man than I am. Because to be honest with you, I have been kicking back cheap whiskey like it's mother's milk for the last 3 days. I have not been on a bender like this since my first wife left me for a one-armed lady kickboxer named Lefty. And let me tell you something else. If one more of these vicious little systems comes whipping down out of Canada to tear us a new asshole, we're all going to be humping reindeers and eating lutefisk. Someone right. Please freshen up my drink. I'm starting to feel again.
Okay.
This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. Back to Ron Van Dam.
Thanks, Jim. I'm so sorry.
Probably going to die in the snow.
No, I'm not, because it's not snowing. It's not snowing here, though. Jim. My.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show right here on New England Broadcasting. We do this every single weekday, unless it's Christmas or Valentine's Day, or unless I have really burning and itching hemorrhoids, then I may not do it. But so far, so good. You can hear us as you're hearing us now, I don't know how that is, on your cell phone, on your computer, your laptop, your pacemaker, I don't know, whatever receives signals. Also, we're on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, the Podbean Network, and other places as well. Some radio stations when they decide to. Not today, because we're cursing too much, but usually somebody picks us up. I feel like a hitchhiker with a radio show. Pick me up, will you? Will you pick me up? How far are you going? How far are you going?
music there. Your music is Jason. Jason, thank you so much. Jason Shaw. Your comedy stuff is coming from John Shanahan. He does our comedy commercials and all that kind of stuff. He's brilliant. It's brilliant. Julie is a little bit of a voice thrown in every once in a while. Nicolette is our British babe at the beginning of the program. And a couple of other people behind the scenes who at this juncture are kind of giving me a foot massage. Thanks. Thank you, guys. My coffee's a little cold. Could you warm it up for me? Thank you, guys. That's enough. That's enough of what we call in the business the interlude. That'll do it. Thank you so much. Thanks for the interlude. Every single day I go to the supermarket. It's my favorite place to go. I love to eat. So I go to the supermarket on a daily basis. It gives you an idea of how much free time I have on my hands. There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. There was a point in my life when I had none. Now I have quite a bit, and I'm enjoying it. So I go to the supermarket, and I just pick up what I think I want to cook, and I love to cook, and I do cook, and I make a nice dinner thing. But the people in the supermarket are fascinating. And the most fascinating person in the supermarket is the common person with a shopping cart who has absolutely no courtesy or no idea what they're doing or where they are at all, that there are even other people in the building with them with shopping carts as well, trying to perform the same duty as they are, and that's to shop. These are the mindless people of our time, and there are plenty of them among us. Those of you that are looking for the zombie holocaust, whatever you call the damn thing, the Armageddon zombie thing, whatever, where for some reason zombies will be taking over the planet, they're in the supermarkets already, picking out food with a shopping cart. Here's what they do. They push their shopping cart down the aisle. They see something on the shelf that they're a little interested in. Instead of pulling to the side of the road like you do in your car, they just leave the shopping cart in the middle of the aisle, walk away from it, and start looking at some item on the shelf, and they leave their cart there. And I'm always behind them. And I stand there for a good 10 seconds to give them the feeling that I'm nearby. You know, I breathe heavily. I let them know there's a guy with a shopping cart that can't get by you because you didn't pull to the side at all. And then when that fails, I get very polite and I say, "Excuse me." And instead of them saying sorry, they just move their cart without even acknowledging me. These people really should not be walking amongst us. They shouldn't be allowed to shop. You're rude. And I know it's just a supermarket. It's not a big deal. But it's indicative of stuff. These are the same people, the same exact people, that when they go to the supermarket and they're looking for a space in the parking lot, that instead of pulling into a space, they back in. And the only reason to back into a space, which takes a long time to do, besides the fact you could clip another car, the only reason to back into a space is if you're going to walk into the store, rob them at gunpoint, and you need to make a quick getaway. Other than that, there is no reason. It's much easier to back out of a space than it is to back into a space. Really, Ron? Why would that be? Well, let me explain to you. When you back into a space, you have a very limited area to work with. There are cars on both sides. there are lines, and you need to back that vehicle into a very tiny, distinct slot. It requires maneuvering. One slip of that, and you will hit my car. Okay, Ron, is it easier to back out? Well, yes, it is. When you're backing out into a huge area. There's no slot behind you that you need to maneuver into. All you need to do is just back up, and you got a whole gigantic aisle to play with to make that maneuver. That's why you don't do the back-end thing, because it's stupid. Now, I know I sound grieved and upset about something that is so trivial it's not really funny. But if I didn't do this, you wouldn't listen to this show. I could sit here and talk about flowers. Oh, isn't it beautiful how the flowers are going to bloom soon? The lovely flowers in the dirt. As their pretty wings spread and their bulbous little faces suck in the sunlight. Have you planted your marigolds yet? They are a lovely little plant with a little orange center, and they distract the bugs from the larger plants such as the Schifflera and the nomenclature plant. You wouldn't listen to that crap, would you? No, not unless you want to go to sleep. Even then, turn off the radio and go to sleep. No, I have to overdo it. I have to pick little nitpick fights with people that leave their shopping carts in the middle of aisles in supermarkets and people who want to back into spaces so they can make a quick getaway as the cops chase them for shoplifting half a pound of cheese. Land of Lakes at that, Land O Lakes. Not Land of Lakes, it's Land O Lakes, by the way, just to be technical, I believe. Okay, that's why I do this, because you have to be bigger about it, you know. But you can't make stuff up. You have to be accurate. And that's when we turn to our conversation about fake news. Nothing could be more topical, other than hemorrhoid cream, about what's going on today. Fake news. It's rampant. And I don't understand what happened, where it came from. But we're going to take a look at that with Vera. She knows what she's talking about. I thought I did until I... Let's talk to her. Vera. Hello, Vera. You there? Hello, Vera. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Vera Zakim joins us now. She is an expert in, let's call it disinformation, I guess, is what we're talking about. We're talking about fake news. And this is, oddly enough, at the forefront of probably everything that we're talking about that has any importance in our culture. This would be the height of fake news concerns, wouldn't it?
It is indeed.
All right. Of course, the so-called president of the United States is trying to claim that the media only perpetrates fake news and that he only tells real news, and that I guess is the biggest spin of the century.
Correct. Well, thank you for having me. I've had an opportunity and been looking at this topic on disinformation and fake news and alternative facts for quite some time, and really particularly from how our adversaries, both state and non-state actors like Russia and ISIS, use disinformation tactics to influence targeted populations.
Right.
Of course, when it comes to Russia, Russia has been doing this not only for quite some time, for over a decade, but obviously there's been alleged involvement in our election as well.
Right.
So in your comments about the president, and it's really part of a broader discourse, right, of what is truth, what is false, what is how is it that we're blurring reality from falsehood, and that's where the real problem lies, because the way in Russian, the Russian word is for this actually is dezinformatsiya, as they say, but regardless of culture or country or language, what disinformation actually does is it instills fear and confuses audiences, and it actually blurs the lines between truth, falsehood, and realities. And part of the way it does that is you have these filter bubbles that isolate readers from alternative facts and alternative viewpoints. And as these filter bubbles, they permeate in our discourse, they permeate on social media, it becomes even more so challenging. And the other point I would add here is that when information is disseminated from all kinds of sources, and if it's actually coming from trusted sources, whether it's friends, colleagues, or those that we tend to agree with, we are less likely to actually think critically about whether that information is true or false.
Yeah, it also it grows a certain distrust in most thinking people, where any amount of information is now questioned before it's accepted, which I think is a good thing. Now, maybe that's just me and the people I know, but we used to take things at face value no matter where they came from, and now we seem to question it. Is that a good thing?
Yes, you're absolutely right. I think it is a good thing. I think this, certainly I think our election and the discourse that surrounded it and the discourse about fake news and alternative facts and disinformation, it has certainly brought that out in the open. And the fact that we're talking about it, we're thinking about it, and that is a good thing. I mean, in some ways, if you think about also, people are, if you will, raising up and and just elevating the discussion, if you will, on this topic.
Yeah. So fake news, for the most part, can we say, is used as a manipulation tool?
It can be used as part of manipulation, absolutely. And it is also, it's just spread in some cases if it's political propaganda, conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And it is also, to confuse audiences as well. So just to give you an example of the way Russia does this.
Yes.
Russia has been doing this arguably since the Cold War, even before that.
Right.
But certainly in the last decade, it has used various tools to spread disinformation, whether it's through state-funded television like RT and other media entities. On social media, you have trolls. You have also disinformation being spread through cultural programs such as Ruskiy Mir. And I mean, we certainly saw that in Ukraine, where you had the spread of conspiracy theories and fake news during the Crimea crisis, as well as the Malaysia airline incident.
Yes.
And, of course, in Georgia as well, during the Russian-Georgian 2008 war, when Russians actually used picture defacement and complemented the spread of information warfare along with cyber attacks. And then even go to the Balkans as well, where that has been used widely as well. And I think since we've been talking about it, the topic in post our election, I think one of the bigger fears is that it will be permeated in Western Europe, as well as there are a number of countries in Western Europe that are facing election.
And of course, we believe who we want to believe. We accept the news that we want to accept if we're on one side or the other. We reject things that would hurt our own theories and our own beliefs. We accept things that that support our theories and beliefs. And go on.
No, I was going to say that's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And that's, that's what we, as reasonable human beings, as part of critical thinking and how we think about information, how we process that information, that is precisely what we do. We believe what we want to believe. And again, going back to, if this information is coming at you in a nanosecond, right, in a 24/7 social media environment, where, and especially if that information is very flashy, we are more likely to actually think less critically about it, especially if it's coming from trusted sources, and just click on it and pass that information. So I would agree with that.
And it becomes very, I think the scary part right now for Americans is that the president himself says things that when questioned upon will respond by saying, well, someone just told me that, or I saw that on TV. That sends chills down my body.
Sure, no, absolutely, because, president is representing all of us.
Yeah.
And as part of the administration and, sets the tone.
Yeah.
So, but again, beyond that, it's really about thinking about how do we actually get, actually solving the problem that surrounds critical thinking and making sure that we're not victims of disinformation.
Yeah, I believe some sites are popping up, and I don't know whether to believe them or not, that do fact-checking quite extensively, and I believe those are accurate, but I don't know. Well, we'll be seeing more of that because that becomes an industry in itself now.
Sure, I think we will, and I think a lot of within the media space, as well as the technology sector and social media companies, they are really focusing on making sure that actually the information is fact-checked.
Yes.
That if they perceive, for example, whether it's Google or Facebook or Apple, anyone that works with the media, works with the publisher, with publishers, if they perceive that the information is coming from a fake website, they are going to restrict their advertising as well.
Yeah.
So I think there are measures there that actually that are being taken, and I think more we will see more of that. But I also think I would say that beyond just fact-checking information and censoring advertisement, censoring content to the degree that we can, because remember when it comes to content, it's a very fine line between free speech and freedom of the press and actually censorship.
Yes.
So what do you do? What do you censor and what do you not? But then I think part of this issue of critical thinking and not becoming victims of disinformation is actually getting more media literacy programs out there, whether it's through in our schools, in a broader discourse, in our educational programs for adults and for children, and also all over the world, so we can improve our journalistic standards, we can improve critical thinking skills. So when there's another event or something else that's happening, whether in the U.S. or the world, we're actually thinking once, twice, or three times before we spread that information.
Yeah. Tell me about CNA, Center for Stability and Development.
Well, CNA, we have two parts. We have Center for Naval Analysis, which is the federally funded research and development center, as well as the Institute for Public Research. We provide independent studies and analysis for decision makers and military leaders and national security and foreign policy. We have been around now for almost 75 years, and I am part of CNA's Center for Stability and Development, and we focus on issues that look at root causes of conflicts.
Good.
How do you actually prevent this conflict?
I'm glad you guys are around. I'll tell you that. So where do we go for more information about this?
So for more information, there's a number of sources. For one is there's a number of studies that are being done about it. I know Stanford University did a study on fake news, especially fake news, and actually how do you think critically about this in children. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to have a lot of studies that are being done by a number of think tanks. And this is going to continue to be in our discourse. Again, my focus has been on looking at disinformation and state and non-state actors, primarily Russia. But this is a part of a larger epidemic, and this is part of a larger challenge that we, as a society, are going to be faced with. And it's not just an international challenge.
Yeah, I know. But at a point, it's harder to fool somebody who's aware that they're being fooled or can be fooled. So I'm glad this came out, although the timing of it is not wonderful. Vera, thank you so much for your time today. Very, very interesting stuff.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's a circus, isn't it, kids? It's a circus. We're living in a circus, aren't we? It's a circus. Grab your popcorn, grab your cotton candy. It's a circus. You got a ringleader that won't shut up. Got three things going on at the same time under the tent in order to distract you. It's a circus. In the meantime, we're all being shot out of a cannon. I don't know where we're going to fall or land. Who knows? Hopefully it's in a net somewhere. Maybe not. It's a circus. It's a circus with sideshows and freak shows and clowns with orange faces. It's a circus. All kinds of scary characters on the thrill ride and the House of Mirrors. You don't know what's real. You don't know what's not. It's a circus. Even Ringling Brothers had enough of it. I'm living in a circus. Get me off this Ferris wheel. It just keeps going around. It doesn't do anything. Get me off of this thing. I don't want the circus. I'm scared of the clown. I'm scared of the orange-faced clown. Get me out of here. They said they were going to cut my taxes. All I'm getting is this stuffed animal.
Ugh. I remember back in 1967, there was a song that came out that was like an anthem to people that lived around then. It's before some of you were born. But it was a time when people gathered together, all different backgrounds, all different cultures, all different viewpoints. But there was this feeling back then in the 60s and 70s of everybody coming together and treating each other respectfully and as fellow human beings and just throwing love around, not necessarily sex. There was that too. That's besides the point. That was a nice little thing. But I'm talking about love. Love between people, not division. Not hatred, not anger, but love, bringing people together. And whether it was real or not, it was comforting.
Love is but a song we sing, fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring, or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know why.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with people trying to get together and love one another? What's wrong with that? Nothing.
when the one that left us here returns for us at least. We are but a moment's sunlight fading in the gray. Together, try to love one another right now.
Oh man, where did it go? How do we get to this place? United we stand, divided we fall. I feel like we're falling. Oh well, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's see what happens? No, I think the time for let's see what happens has passed. I think it's time to get together and do what they said in the song. I hope you have a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Join me the next weekday. I'll be with a new show. Will you be there? I will. I'll be your host. I'll try to get you something that you want. Like... You don't seem to be eating the sandwiches. You like those little egg rolls? You know, those little egg rolls, those miniature egg rolls? I can heat some of those up for you. Would you like that? Little dipping sauce? Yeah? Okay, I'll get that for you. I do wish you peace.